Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am your co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I am a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a researcher. And I am here with your other co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, and a thought leader. And together, we have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry over the years through our speaking events, through our courses, through our research, through friends. And we're really excited to be with you today. Today, we're going to be talking about the media portrayal of dentists. And you may have heard other people talk about the media portrayal of dentists. However, what most of them don't focus on is how this affects us. And we are going to get into how this creates fear with patients. We're going to get into your personal life versus your profession. I think you're going to get a lot of value out of today's discussion. And just as a reminder, if you haven't picked up my complication compliance method, it's the price of a few tacos. It's going to show you how to prepare your patients for paying for their own revisions or complications or failures that we call them in dentistry if they happen. In addition, if you haven't signed up for Dr. Martin Mendelson's self-leadership video series, where he's going to lead yourself out of the darkness and into seeing what you can turn into, make sure you sign up for that. You can sign up for that as a founding member. So, Martin, let's talk about media portrayal of dentists.
Let's do it. I love this topic because as we were talking about before we hit record, I mean, if you think about all the media portrayal of, let's call it us within the world, none of it's positive, right? Dentist kills lion. Dentist, oh, we forgot about this one. Dentist runs over husband with her car. Hermie and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or Steve Martin's famous character in
Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. Thank you. None of it is positive, right? It's either negative or farcical. And so, what does that say about how society actually views dentists? And, it's kind of like I heard somebody talk about police officers and law enforcement one time. You gripe about them when you get a speeding ticket or you feel like they're getting in your way. But who's the first person you call when you're in trouble?
And you can say
Right?
the same thing about who's the first person you call when you have a toothache, right?
Exactly.
You want to improve your smile, or when you have an
Exactly.
infection, or when your kid's having pain from wisdom tooth or something like this, right?
And true also, if we think about it too, from a medical side, I guess you could consider oral health challenges similar to blood pressure, the quote, silent killer, unquote. Because as we all know, by the time you're in pain, well, poof, it's been there a while. So minus trauma, of course. So it can be very difficult because what does that set up? It sets up people to come to see us with that framework, that mindset, that background of negativity, farce, fear, those kind of things, right?
Well, I think this whole negative portrayal of dentists really comes out of fear. That's really what I think. I think people portray us as being these masochists, these sadists, these people that enjoy hurting people. And most of that comes out of fear of the writers that are writing these commercials and movies and scripts and whatnot. And what's so interesting about that is if they knew just how uncomfortable it is when you have a patient that is in pain, I mean, we feel it. You know, if you're giving an injection and we're trying to give injections that are painless, right? We're using the right pressure when we're injecting with the cartridge. We're using the right size needle to inject at the right flow rate. We're using topical anesthetic. We've got our landmarks on. I mean, we try to do it as painless as possible, and sometimes we can get there and sometimes we can't. But you know that when you're working on a patient that, let's say, is difficult to get numb, they have a hot tooth, they have high blood pressure, so they're going through anesthetic quickly, right? It's so uncomfortable for us as well. And I think people think we like to see patients in pain, which is so crazy to think about.
It's like demonizing any group, if you think about it. Like you have a couple bad apples, and then all of a sudden the totality of this group, whatever the group is, in our case dentists, gets all lumped in together. And you know, unfortunately, we've all heard the horror stories of adults that had horrific experiences as children, right? And so none of us were there, yet by the same token, we all know the kind of stories that I'm alluding to, right? Like you can read between the lines.
One of my favorite things, and I've posted about this, no dentist has ever put their knee or their foot on someone's chest. However, every single dentist has heard this story from a patient.
Amen. Amen.
Why is that? And are they extrapolating? Are they not remembering correctly? Are they just thinking that they were uncomfortable? So then it must have been so much pressure. Where do you think this comes from?
I don't know, but it, like every time this comes up, I picture myself like even thinking of doing that. And I'm like, that would actually reduce the amount of
No,
force support or whatever. Like it would work.
this is what I was saying, is it doesn't give us more leverage. It
No, it's
doesn't help
ridiculous.
us in any way.
No, well, I got a story for you too. Like when I was in practice, I used to treat a lot of kids. And the reason why I treated a lot of kids is that I got referred a lot of kids. Why? Because every time I would go into the operatory, I said to myself, Martin, your job is to make sure that you don't create a phobic adult patient. That
And
was
that
my
is
mantra.
so powerful. Quickly, before you continue with your story, I did a post about this. And I think that people that treat children, whether it's a pediatric dentist or, a surgeon or a GP, have such a big responsibility on their shoulders because you're exactly right. They are preparing the adult patients from 30 years from now, the ones that will need full mouth rehabs that don't go to the dentist for 20 years because they're fearful. And I say this to my friends all the time that have children, because most of my friends have little kids like me, is I say one of the best things you can do as a dentist, or sorry, as a parent, is expose your kids to dentistry early and make it a good exposure early. So like you said, don't wait until they have the cavity to go. Literally, I tell people, just go and sit in the waiting room.
Yes, correct.
Just go sit in the waiting room and then, do that two or three times. And then go and ask the dentist if you can just bring the patient into the chair. And, the dentist can literally take a look with a mirror and count the teeth, right? And get used to having someone close to them in their mouth, seeing what the mirror is, seeing what the light looks like. And then you get this slow exposure. This is why I actually think that early ortho is such a great experience for dentists. My son started ortho when he was 4 years old. So he's had expanders and Invisalign very, very young. He's never had a cavity, but he has such a great, an easy experience going to the dentist because he's mostly not coming to my practice. He's mostly going to the orthodontist practice where, it's easy. I mean, he's learning, he had one experience where the light got a little hot when they were doing some attachments. And so, he was a little bit afraid of that, but then we got over that and we got used to that. And he'll tell me like, "Hey, can you tell them to make sure that the light isn't too hot?" But he's had this really good exposure. And I know you want to tell your story and I want to hear it, but I want to expand on this a little bit more. Why I say this is because you rarely meet a child of a dentist that is afraid of the dentist.
True.
And, I didn't even know people were afraid of the dentist until I was in high school. I remember the day
Same,
we were sitting in the
actually.
quad. One of my friends comes up to me or comes up to our group and says, "God, I'm so bummed out about today." And we're like, "What's going on?" He's like, "I have to go to the dentist." And I was like, and everyone else was like, "Oh man." I was like, "Wait, why are you sad about that?" And he was like, "It's the dentist, like so scary, right?" And I was like, "Wait, you're
No.
scared about going to the dentist?" Like, I didn't even know because my dad was a dentist. And it's not like I didn't have fillings. I had plenty of fillings. I didn't have crowns or anything, but I had fillings and I had cleanings and I had fluoride treatments and I had all kinds of stuff, ortho. But I was so exposed to it early that I never even knew you were supposed to be afraid.
Well, and I will buoy your story because my father was not a dentist. He was an aeronautical engineer. He was in jet engines. While at the same token, my parents did exactly what you're talking about. I got early exposure to the dentist. My mother, in particular, had quite a number of dental challenges throughout her entire life. She's now 93, still having certain challenges. And yet, my parents were very pragmatic when it came to medicine and dentistry. And it was just like, if you need to go, you go. And it may not necessarily always be the most pleasant thing in the world, but you're there for a reason and it's okay. And I was like you from. I also remember not understanding that kids were afraid of the dentist until I don't know if it was high school, but it was at least middle school. So I had the same experience, but from a different angle, right? Yeah. So, but it's the conditioning relative to what you say to your kids, because what my mother didn't do is actually the story that I want to tell you, ironically enough, in the opposite, or what she didn't do, rather. I said that. So I was in practice and I would treat a lot of kids. And I did not typically allow the parents back because I know there's certain people feel one way or the other.
Yeah,
But
I agree with you though.
yeah, typically children did not behave in the same way if their parents were in the room. So I come around the corner and not only is the mom and dad there, but there's a sibling there as well. And I don't remember now why I went forward, but I did. Has your daughter ever been to the dentist before? No. What are you concerned about? Well, we think she has some cavities, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Took 10 minutes to get the mirror in around. I finally did, and I purposefully was using dental terminology to not clue her in as I was charting with my assistant. I think I said something like a occlusal caries. The girl takes my hands, pushes them away, leaps out of the chair, and starts being specific in her screaming. You're not putting needles in my mouth. You're not drilling on my teeth. You're not putting, quote, files inside my teeth. And so I stopped right there. I took my gloves off, you know, in the dramatic way that we can. And I said, Mom, Dad, I'd like to see you outside. You know, my assistant can stay with the children. And I looked at the parents and I said, so I just want to verify here for a minute. She's never been in the desert before? Yep. So help me understand where she learned those terms. The mother gets beet red, looks down at the ground, and goes, well, I might have had a couple of root canals before. Well, what good are you doing for your daughter? And so that's exactly what you're talking about. And it's so sad. And I looked at them and I said, listen, she is so afraid at this point. It is appropriate for her to see the pediatric dentist, have some form of sedation, whatever that looks like. Because otherwise we're going to create a phobic adult. So it's a really sad thing to have this happen to people, and then have the media take it and run from there.
Yeah, and when you look at fear and anxiety in dental patients, it's complex, it's multifactorial, it's exogenous, it's endogenous, it's past experiences, role models, media, genetics, personality, intelligence. But I think one of the biggest influences, like you said, is role models. Because if you have people around you that are ne have never been afraid of the dentist, you don't even know that that is a thing to be afraid of,
Correct.
right?
Correct.
It's, there's maybe a fear of the unknown. But w when I did a lot of missionary work, like when we'd go and do free dental clinics for, I guess, I don't know if you consider that missionary work, but volunteer work, I would say, do free dental clinics in Central America. What's interesting is a lot of the children there that had never seen a dentist and they were 7, they were 9, whatever, they weren't even afraid because they didn't know they should be afraid.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
They didn't know what that you we use needles in their mouths or that,
Yeah.
we use a handpiece or that the teeth could even be extracted. Like they didn't even know any of that. And so it was
Exactly.
so interesting how you'd see these 9-year-olds that had never been to the dentist, we'd be giving them palatal injections and we'd be extracting a baby tooth that was bombed out and they would be cool with it. Like it was crazy. And so much of it has to do with those role models. I think I try to tell all my friends so much, just early exposure, because just like how you said, those people that have that bad experience. And let's give the example of this little girl that you were working on, right? I have heard things where parents were in the waiting room and we're talking, and they say, like, now Jenny, be good, because if you're not good, he's gonna put a needle into the roof of your mouth. And it's like, why did you think that that was going to help me? You
Exactly.
know?
Well, it's kind of like old, very old fashioned and old timey. It's like, you better behave because when your father gets home, blah blah blah. It's
Yes.
like, was that helpful, right?
Right.
Yeah, but I think in the times that we live in, we have a really unique opportunity to help to combat this kind of stuff, right? Because social media has a lot of negatives, but it also has a lot of positives. And so, I mean, if you think about it, when something negative hits the media today, we have the opportunity through social media to combat these kind of things like we've never been able to before, right? And so, you have a much bigger social media presence than I do, but I mean, let's talk about that, like the role of social media and kind of dispelling this kind of stuff, because it's like anything else. It's easier to fear or to hate people or groups when you have no connection or don't know them, right? So I'm just kind of curious, kind of throwing you a softball here or whatever, curveball. What do you think about that? Like, how to use social media to like kind of combat some of this stuff?
Yeah, I've definitely tried to I always tried to be the different dentist. Like, I always tried to show the side of my personal life to let people know that there's a human behind the dentist. And I think that's also a big problem that we have, is that so many of us think about our self-worth, our identity as our profession. And then when people say rude things to you, when people say, I hate the dentist, or I'm so pissed off that I'm here, or my day was great until I showed up here, they don't even think that there's a person behind that white coat.
It's true.
And I think if they, most people wouldn't be rude to another person on the street. But when you add in fear and you add in the fact that they equate you with a profession, not a human, I think that that changes how people can act. So I agree that social media can help to dispel some of these. And I think the way of doing it is by showing what dentistry can do.
Yeah, that's a
So
good point.
all the negative press that we get is usually when, heaven forbid, someone dies in a dental chair, right? So you have a child that dies under sedation, you have an older lady that has a heart attack when she's having an implant placed, right? And it's big news because people don't expect to die in the dental chair. However, how many people die in hospitals every day? We never hear about it. That's because people expect people to die there. But, sometimes things happen, right? And again, sometimes you hear these horror stories where a throat pack gets caught in a child, or in someone having wisdom teeth, or an injection leads to a heart attack. Or, I mean, some of these things happen. And my initial thought is usually it's not the dentist's fault. Now, of course, there's things that happen, right? There's negligence. Like you said, though, there's a 1%, maybe 2% of dentists that are bad people, right? They're doing insurance fraud. They're trying to rip people off. Maybe they do enjoy hurting people. But you and I know hundreds of dentists between the two of us, thousands. And most of them are good, able people that are just trying to help others. And what nobody focuses on is our profession is so special in the sense that we can get you out of pain, we can make you healthier, and make you look better. We can make you function better. And no one really focuses on that, right? So let's take into account some other professions, right? We have plastic surgery. Plastic surgery can usually make you look better. If it functions better, it's a bonus. And you're usually not healthier. Okay. And then you have profession like orthopedic surgery. You usually don't look better. You function better. Okay. And that's basically it. And what we do is so special. We give them health, we give them function, we give them confidence. And these are the kind of stories that we need to bring to dentistry. You know, you probably remember back in like the late 90s, that was, I think, the last time we had positive
Sure, it's a good point.
examples of dentistry. And it was the Swan and Extreme Makeover. Now, the problem with that was that we focused only on looking better. What's very, very interesting about these makeover shows is one of my patients in Beverly Hills was the producer of, I think it was the Swan. I think it was the Swan that she was the producer of. And she told me in the background, they also did therapy and they did psychological training and they did all this stuff for these people that they never showed on TV. Because that was 90s shock TV, you know, makeover kind of thing. But he said all these people had these amazing physical makeovers, but they also had amazing mental makeovers, but no one showed them. And so I think it was good, but it went a little too far. And so I think how we solve this problem is by bringing back positive media associations with dentistry. And you know, there's money involved in that. There's time, there's effort. I'm not necessarily 100% sure of what the answer is, but the more we show how we don't just fix teeth, we're not mechanics of the mouth, right? We are true doctors of the mouth, we're architects of the mouth, we are therapists of the mouth. I mean, that's when you show the human side that we get the positive media associations.
You know what I just thought about too? You know who's really good at this within our world are these tooth in a day implant retained denture surgical centers, like Clear Choice is one of them. They're really, really good at this. And if you look at the data, the people that are coming in the door, I think the last report I read, and it's been consistent through the years, like half of the patient population that comes to their door never even goes to the dentist normally. And so, and these are, I don't know, the range, $30,000 to $80,000 treatment plans or whatever the heck it is. And these people are walking in, they're saying yes, they're financing, et cetera. And if you look at those testimonial videos, they're about what it is you were just discussing. It's the emotional, it's the I felt taken care of, it's the I didn't know where to go. It's all of the emotional stuff that orbits around the health stuff that we see that our patients just can't see because they're not dental professionals. So I think that's a very good example of what it is we're talking about and how you can actually change things by having a kind of a different conversation. You mentioned earlier about, as I like to call keyboard bravery, where people are a bit more brazen online. But think about it, like we've talked about this in your Lightside Club, when patients come up and they say, I hate the dentist, right? Or you go to a party and they start literally complaining about a colleague that you may or may not know, about how they went in there and they had a horrible experience. And I know they were just trying to fund their next car or vacation, you know? And it's really kind of sad to hear that kind of thing. But we know where it's coming from in the end.
The negative media association, what's interesting about it is there is this idea that dentists aren't real doctors,
Right. That's another thing.
which also is so weird, right? Like 100 years ago, they said, okay, let's get all the doctors together. Okay. You focus on the foot, the eyes, and the teeth. Okay, you go over here. You're everything else. Okay, you're the real doctors. But foot, eyes, and teeth? No, you're not a real doctor. And it's so crazy.
Yeah,
It's
it's bizarre.
starting to come back. I think there's a lot of research that's bringing the mouth back into the body. I think there's AI that's helping with this too. But we have, you know, now we have the research showing that periodontal disease is related to brain function. Periodontal disease is related to COVID. Periodontal disease is related to heart disease. And so it's finally happening where the mouth is being brought back into the body. I think one of the big things in dentistry that is helping with this too is airway.
Sure, true, totally,
You
totally.
know, so you have like, yeah, spirit education was doing so much with airway and bringing this to the forefront and realizing, okay, making them, making them a sleep appliance, maybe like a first step, but what if you turned them into the sleep appliance?
Yeah.
How does that change their life?
Right.
And I'm one of these patients. I mean, I was an airway patient. I fixed myself through all kinds of different things. It was life-changing. I mean, beyond traditional dentistry, it really affected my life, affected my relationships, it affected my confidence, it affected my energy levels. And I think when we can show that more to lay people, what dentistry does, it really brings up our value.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And it's almost like I keep picturing myself or any of us at some social event where, dentistry comes up. It's like I don't mean to be kind of too over the top, but it's almost like we have this responsibility. Like when somebody talks about that, it's like, no, help that individual connect with you as a human. Because when people start connecting us as humans, that's when things change. Because you go to these parties and you tell them you're in dentistry and they're got look at this. And so we've all had that experience. And I often talk about in my keynotes, whether they're within dentistry or the big corporate gigs that I do, that my identity was ripped in two. It's like some sci-fi movie where, two parts of me were ripped apart. So, I was in my mid-30s for those that don't know my story, and my hands started to bother me, and I ended up unemployed for 17 months trying to figure out what was next. Thankfully, I did figure out what was next, but it was outside of clinical dentistry. And it took years for me to process the trauma, which is what I learned it actually was clinically. The separation of Martin from the dentist, because I started at 16 years of age as a dental assistant in a dental practice. And as an adult, I realized today how well they treated me, well meaning with respect, as a member of their team, as somebody who was valuable. Like I look back now, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, it's unbelievable the way they interacted with me. Now that I'm looking at it through the lens of a mid 50-year-old dude, and it really kind of changed me in a good way. But by the time I became disabled, that was 20 of my 36 years. That's huge, right? So, and we both have friends that have become disabled for various reasons and so forth, and it's really hard to separate ourselves from the white coat. Or the scrubs, whatever you want to call
Yeah. When you were telling that story, I was thinking about that human to human interaction and how you can make someone feel, how you can give them their confidence back. How you can allow them to start dating again or get
it.
better jobs. A lot of that is why many of us get into dentistry.
Totally.
But what's interesting is that's not what a lot of dentists share.
Correct.
What most dentists share is the physical aspect of it, right? Looking better, veneers, you missed a tooth, and now here's, look, now they have a tooth.
Yeah.
But they don't share the human behind the teeth.
Totally.
And maybe that's a reason why we get associated with the work so much is because we're not sharing the human side. And maybe that's a call to the dental professionals that we can say is like, hey guys, share the human side of what's happening with your
Yeah.
patients.
Well, and I'm going to
And that will
throw.
connect you as a human too.
Well, not only that, I'll throw out something that might be super controversial, but let's go for it. Maybe that's why we're, maybe that's one of the reasons. I won't be that egregious. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're having such problem with team turnover. If we're not living the magic that we're able to do for people and acknowledging it and talking about it and expressing the gratitude for being able to give Mr. and Mrs. Jones the confidence back. Well, how do we expect our team to engage with that as well if we're not talking about it?
It's so true. One of my mentors, Christian Coachman, always talks about dentists deserve more credit. And he says one of the there's multiple reasons, but one reason is we transform lives profoundly,
Bingo.
both systemically and emotionally. Number two is that it takes a lot of money and time. It's very difficult to be a dentist. You have to be your own investor. You have to go through a lot of time, a lot of effort, take a lot of tests, do this and study and this and that. Number three is that it's extremely challenging to gather the skill set to be a good dentist. So he says it's like less than 10% of the dentists out there are at that great, good skill set. And if your dentist is like that, you should really value that.
Totally.
Reason number four is that dentistry is ranked as one of the most stressful professions. And so when you take into account all of those reasons that we transform lives, it's very expensive and time consuming to be a dentist. It's very challenging skill set, and it's a very stressful profession. It's sad that we're not appreciated more for what we do.
I was thinking about this recently too. I just had some minor hand surgery, so I was binging Netflix, and there was this re reality docuseries on Netflix called Lenox Hill, and it was about Lenox Hill Hospital, and some of the doctors they followed were neurosurgeons. And I thought it was really interesting because after they scrubbed in, after the patient was sedated or anesthetized, they would pause and they would literally have a mindfulness moment. And you could argue, are they doing this for the cameras? I don't think so. Because they would say, okay, we're here to, help Mrs. Jones. We really appreciate our ability to, excise this tumor, blah, 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 blah. Let's just take a moment to breathe and be present. And I thought, how cool would it be if we could start doing that stuff within dental practice? Because the research is very, very clear, how gratitude can actually change your cognitive function, your visual acuity, your ability to intellectually process information. We could spend an hour just talking on that. So what would it be like if we started to change the narrative? Because when I work with my coaching clients, I just had an intake conversation today, and dentistry is so difficult and it's so challenging. It is very easy and very understandable to get caught up in the negativity. And so you might have had three really crappy things that happened on a given Monday. But if you saw, or the practice saw, or you interacted with 15 patients total, well, that means that 12 out of those 15, you had a neutral to positive relationship with. Why are we not giving that credence at the end of the day versus net? Well, because the negative was so challenging. Yeah, it was. But why isn't the positive stuff just as valuable?
It makes me think. I've said this before to some people in courses, but when you have that rare patient that loves coming to the dentist, and you know these patients, right? I mean, they're friendly to your front office team, they're friendly to your hygienist, they have energy when they come in, they pay their bills, they don't complain about the injection, they thank you after they've sat there for 3 hours, and you had to retake the impression three times or whatever. And they get up and say, "Thanks so much, Dr. Stanley. I'll see you guys in a few weeks." And they have a smile on their face. It almost wipes away, even if you had 10 bad patients, when you have that one patient that really appreciates you, that has gratitude towards you, it can change your entire look on your profession. And I love what you're saying, that if there was a way that we could create patients that have appreciation for us, that would affect the profession positively. It was just, it reminds me of, I just did a post recently thanking all my non-dental friends
I
and
saw that. That was so
messing
cool.
for staying with me over the years, right? Because I have friends, from the music industry, I have friends from the modeling industry, I have friends from high school, from college, non-dental friends, and I'm posting all about dentistry stuff and mental health for dentists. And I just did a post that said, "Thanks for sticking with me. I know it's not easy when I'm mostly posting about profession, and then I mix in some stuff with my personal life and my family and my travels." And one of my friends, her name's Maggie, she put a post and said, I love watching your stuff. And also, I make sure when I go to the dentist to be something like in a better mood or be nice to them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think that I could influence non-dentists to be nicer to their dentist.
That's true. That's pretty
And
wild.
it blew my mind. And I'm so thankful that Maggie said that.
Yeah.
And I felt so good about myself too. Like, wow, I can really make. I thought I could only make a change with dentists, but
Yeah.
what if us as a profession could
Absolutely.
make a change to patients as a whole? How that would then come back and affect our profession for generations.
Absolutely. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head a couple of minutes ago where we're talking about highlighting the good stuff and the positive stuff, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Because we can't
True.
rely on the media for doing it. I mean, sure, every once in a while we'll get some good press for some case where someone had some egregious infection and somebody came in and did it pro bono, et cetera, but those are so far and few between, right? And so how can we change the narrative? Look, within our own world, I mean, we're all just individual people, and that's okay. But how can we start changing that narrative to kind of shift perception just within our local community? We don't have to go crazy here, but how can we start to shift the message? So, you know,
Totally.
so as we kind of come to the end of this episode, we talked a lot about media portrayal. We talked about kind of how things are, my words, a little bit stacked against us relative to media, our responsibility, social media, and so forth. So what do you think our colleagues should leave this little chit chat between us with, Kyle? What do you think?
I think that they should leave be having the awareness of the negative media association, which can then allow us to understand a little bit why our patients may come in fearful. And then I think so that's just the awareness side. Now, the responsibility side is like what you were saying with social media or with websites, is to put out positive media associations for yourself. You can do it as a promotional way too, but show more than a before and after. Even if you show a before and after, but then in the caption, you mention how it affected the human and even how it affected you, saying, like, I really enjoyed working on Mr. Jones and seeing his confidence change from when he came in to now being healthier, functioning better. Like, I have a story that I did implants on a lady that I think she was 96. Okay. And we did like multiple implants, like full arch, basically. She was spending a lot of money. She was 96. And when we finished, she was like, now I can start dating again. And I
I
thought that
love it.
was so cool. She
That's
ended up living
fantastic.
to be 104, by the way.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it goes back to people that say, like, well, should you? I'm not going to do work now. I'm too old for this. You've heard this before. But she had a great 8 years. She started dating again. I can't remember if she got married or not, but she started dating again. She had fun. She ate right. And she enjoyed her last 8 years.
That's awesome. So, you just made me think, like, so here would be a, because I can't help myself, here would be a coaching type challenge to everybody listening who happens to engage in social media, whether it's kind of the way you do it, which is kind of a mix personal, or if you have your practice, page or account. Take a look at your last, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, depending on how long, and think about categorically, what are the kinds of things I've been posting? Are they all teeth? Are they all, oh, we're celebrating Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then Valentine's Day? Like, that's nice and it puts a human element to it, but everybody does that. Like, how can you shift the narrative to making yourself and the team human, making about the human interaction, the human experience, and how people are better off functionally, aesthetically, health-wise for walking through your front door? I think that would be kind of a cool challenge, is to really look at your channels and think about that, and what
No,
part you
for
can
sure.
play in changing the story. So,
Yep, I agree.
cool. Awesome. Well, if people want to get a hold of us, Kyle, what do you recommend?
You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com. You'll find all of our links, whether it's my complication compliance method, whether it's Martin's private coaching, or if you want to book any of us to speak or host your next event. Also, remember, if you want to spend time with us in person, November
Yes.
1st and 2nd, we're going to be at Glidewell in Irvine, California, a few minutes away from the beach, a few minutes away from Disneyland. Make sure you come, and you can see that on lightsidedentistry.com and just click on Lightside Live.
Yes.
And we will see you on our next episode.
Sounds good. See you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.